Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening into the NOLA Drink Show, friends. I do appreciate it. As always, yeah, show number two here in 2020. And I'm going to clear something up right away here, friends. When we bounce over to the featured interview portion of the show, coming up in the next segment momentarily, I'll get more into that in just a moment. I start things off by saying Happy New Year. Okay, now in all fairness to me, friends, we recorded the featured interview portion of the show, a little bit over a week ago, thereabouts. I think that's still within the realm of saying Happy New Year, right? Okay, I hope you'll give that to me. I think so, right? Now, in watching recently the season premiere of Curb Your Enthusiasm there with Larry David, that curmudgeon, in the episode, his theory was that after 3 days, it's too late to say Happy New Year. I'm going to go a little longer than that, a little longer than 3 days, sure. But sure, in all fairness, if you're listening here on the radio on January 20th or catching it on the podcast shortly thereafter, probably a little late to still be saying Happy New Year. What I probably should be saying, particularly here in New Orleans, is Happy Carnival, because Carnival is on, friends. So whether you're here in NOLA or outside the area, I will say Happy Carnival to you. And also, very importantly, friends, today, Monday, January 20th, is Martin Luther King Day here in the United States. So I hope everyone out there is having or has had both a joyous as well as a reflective MLK Day. And also want to note, coming up this Saturday, January 25th, is this year's annual celebration of Chinese New Year, a tradition near and dear to my heart, having grown up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So for everybody out there that celebrates Chinese New Year, Gung Hei Fat Choi to you. Got a really good show coming up for you, friends, this week. We're chatting with folks connected to the Turning Tables Foundation program. It's a great program that targets underserved youth and trains them in becoming a bartender. And it's a really cool program. Hands-on training in a range of bartending styles and skills, from craft stuff all the way to the high volume stuff. But it also includes teaching employability skills. There's a mentorship component to this. There's a job placement component to this program. Really, really neat program. So I'm excited for you to hear about that. It was started in part by grant funding from the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, and is also sponsored by Liberty's Kitchen, a very, very fine nonprofit here in the New Orleans area. A little programming note for you next week. As the plan stands now, we're going to be talking about bourbon and American whiskey on next week's show. We're going to be joined by Tracy Napolitano and one or two other folks talking about that stuff. And so that'll be a good conversation. I'll give you some more details about it as we have them. But want a note connected to that coming up March 11th through the 14th of this year is the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival, a very, very fine event. Has a grand tasting that goes on the Friday and Saturday evening. There's paired whiskey dinners that go on at various fine restaurants around town. One of my favorite parts about the event is that it also includes seminars during a couple of the days, led by all kinds of heavy hitters in the industry. Don't want to say, they're still finalizing some of those details, but trust me, a lot of luminaries from the industry are going to be out there teaching these seminars. You can go to the Grand Tasting, and that also, you know, features all kinds of great whiskeys, of course, but also features food by numerous terrific restaurants from the city. And it's an all-inclusive ticket there. You know, you can get tickets to the different seminars. You can go attend the different dinners. There's different ticket packages out there, VIP stuff, all kinds of things. I highly encourage you to go check it out. It's one of my favorite things. I love the education component about it. That's really neat with the seminars. I love how they handle the grand tasting. They don't oversell tickets, so it's a little more intimate than a lot out there. You get a chance to taste things. You get a chance to interact with people. A lot of the distillers are there. It's a really cool event. And then the dinners are great too. A lot of fun at all kinds, you know, great food with great spirits. And a lot of times some great conversation and short presentations involved with the dinners there. So go check that out. If you're looking for more information, check out the different ticket packages and all that stuff. NewOrleansBourbonFestival.com, and it's a benefit for a local charity also serving youth here in New Orleans, Kids Can NOLA. And just as a note here, I recently joined the board, very honored to do so, of Kids Can NOLA, kind of all one and the same there, because the Kids Can NOLA is the nonprofit that actually puts on the event, New Orleans Bourbon Festival. It benefits this terrific charity that seeks to support other charities, well-existing, well-established charities that support youth causes here in New Orleans. So go check out Kids Can NOLA as well. And I'll be talking more about that as we approach Bourbon Festival coming up, kicking off on March 11th, as I said. What we're going to do here, friends, on the NOLA Drink Show, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to bounce over to Pax Coffee on Clayboard, a very fine coffee shop run by my friend Scott Burlington over there. Thanks for them, to them for hosting us, and we're going to be talking about the Turning Tables program. Take a little break here, friends, on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
You used to be my honey.
Laissez le bon temps brûler. Hey, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. From the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the 4th annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 11th through the 14th. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food, all at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much, much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with the WTSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. This week, I do appreciate it, as always, our second new show here in 2020. I'll still say Happy New Year to everybody out there. Got a great show here for you today. As you know, we are over here at PAX, which I'll get into that in a little bit. But we're talking about the Turning Tables program, which is a really neat youth success program here in New Orleans. And I'm joined by four great guests connected to the program. Ture Folks, who is the program director, and my friend. Ture, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to see you. It's been a few weeks since the last time I saw you.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last time I saw you, we were drinking Tricol at Jewel of the South, if
delicious,
I remember. And I think
spirit.
You were there as well, Faith.
Yes.
And
I was.
Awesome. Awesome. We're also joined by Jazz Bradley, and Jazz is one of the program mentors. How are you, Jazz?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for making time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Faith, how are you? Faith
I'm
Shepherd,
good.
One of the students, and yeah, I met you at Jewel of the South, also
definitely,
drinking Tricol, right?
That was fun.
That was fun. And Ronnie Richardson, who's also one of the students.
Yeah.
Ronnie, how you doing, man?
Great.
Awesome. Appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Well, let's talk about, maybe I'll start with you, Ture. Tell us a little bit about the Turning Tables program. Great name, by the way.
Sure.
But let's talk about what it is and what it sets out to do.
So Turning Tables came from the direct result of Tales of the Cocktail Foundation grant. They give out a certain amount of grants every year to educate, empower, and bring knowledge to different aspects of the industry globally. And there's a few different people that do similar things to us, but, you know, mental health, for instance, or issues surrounding the industry that need to be addressed. And in this case, it's diversity and visibility. You know, obviously I've been in the service industry for about 10 to 12 years, and it's not just an issue that's specific to New Orleans. If you go around the United States, you'll see that representation in certain environments, it's the same kind of people. And I think that employers don't think about actively how they hire in these spaces. So the point of Turning Tables is to increase visibility and diversity by education, mentorship, also through opportunities for experience. And, you know, a lot of the times anyone involved in the program also has accountability to go to diversity, bias, intersectionality trainings. So it's just there's a lot of work on the other side as well. So just not only changing people's mindsets, but really getting people on the same page about, like, why this work is important.
Okay, great. So the idea is to provide people with job skills and help them find avenues into the hospitality industry, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. But more specifically bartending. So
in this case, okay.
Yeah. There's a few local organizations that focus more on front of the house specifically, like, and back of the house. Liberty's Kitchen, who is our fiscal sponsor, Cafe Reconcile, where Faith comes from. But nothing is really, I think there are some programs coming, but this is specifically geared towards craft cocktails, I would say, but, you know, not everyone is going to be a craft cocktail bartender. Each week they learn different spirits and cocktails related to those spirits. And along with that, once they get settled, they go to different bars around the city and get experience behind bars. They don't have a traditional classroom. They've been training in different bar spaces throughout the city and in non-traditional ways, learning how to dive bartend, craft bartend, do some events. And then as part of it also, a lot of different people have been in their face, brand ambassadors, other people in the industry, their mentors, other bartenders. And so just that exposure alone, they've gotten a lot of visibility with different people throughout the city. And then through events, they've also become visible. So the goal is that, you know, it becomes more commonplace. Like, it used to be that you would go around the city and you'd say, hey, like, how many craft bartenders do you know that are people of color? And you'd be like, okay, there's Trey, there's Denzel, there's Jazz. And then you get to, like, number five and you're like, it's a predominantly black city, at this point. So to say that there's no black bartenders would be a fallacy, but, I think people tend to segregate themselves into different spaces. So you think about certain restaurant groups putting the onus on them that when they hire, like, if you do decide to educate people and give them opportunity and have a level of awareness of different life issues related to them, that they are a part of the richness of New Orleans culture as well, and should be seen as much.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Jazz, let me ask you this question. And as Tori just touched on, this city is built economically, is built on the hospitality industry, and a lot of that is built on the food and drink portion of the hospitality industry here. And we have a lot of bars here, but as Ture just noted, it's a predominantly African-American city, yet the bar space is predominantly white. Why, as a mentor, why is this program important to you? How did you get involved, and what are you trying to accomplish here with it on a big level and also in New Orleans?
Also, like, when I got here about a year ago, I realized that there were not very many people of color or women at all who were working behind a lot of the bars that I was going to, that I was trying to get hired at. I was looking at all these bars and I was like, okay, so it's a bunch of white dudes, you know? And I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. Also, because at every bar that I've worked at, I have been treated as this cultural ambassador to the city that I know very little about. So people who are always coming out of town are always going to the bartenders and asking, like, hey, where is this great food? Where is this great shows? Like, what does this mean? Like, let me, like, where should I go to see what this city is really about? And I am not from here. I don't know the answer to that question very often. I'm learning day by day. But, and so it was very strange to me that there weren't a lot of people who are from here, who grew up here, who know the city inside and out and are not sharing that city with the people who are, you know, coming here to visit. So I thought it was strange that there hasn't been a program to train these people to be the bartenders who are sharing their city. So when Ture came to me and told me that he wanted to do this program, I was super excited. I work at a bar where it's just like tons of tourists coming in all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I would love to have someone here who I can give those questions to, who, like, has something about the city to share.
That's a great point, because information here, like in a lot of places, information is transmitted in bars, especially in New Orleans, and you are a cultural representative or a tour guide. So yeah, that's a great point. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For bringing that
yeah
up. Faith, since you're there, let me what got you involved in the program? You came out of Cafe Reconcile,
yeah,
which is a great organization. We'll do that on another show.
Yeah, definitely.
But how'd you get involved in
so
why?
So with bartending, it came kind of sudden. So last year I was a chef for an entire year. I finished Cafe Reconcile and I became a chef. And I did that, and it was a kind of a rough experience, but it was a real introduction to the hospitality industry in New Orleans as, like head on. Like, that was my first time, like, experiencing, like, the good and the bad part.
Okay.
So I stemmed from that, and then, like, I got the opportunity where somebody was like, hey, you should check out this bartending program. Your palate is extensive. I feel like you should try it. And then I just, like, grabbed it by the horns and took it full on. But I feel like the program in general is needed, because there isn't really a good representation from the local black people that live in the city as far as, like, tourism and where to eat and where to drink. It's always, like, a really washed, like, dry scene when it comes to, like, where is, like, the real, real New Orleans culture. And it's really hard to answer that question if you are not from here. So it's like,
yeah,
people like us are needed that, like, really know where the good food is and, like, where is the good times, where are the good drinks, the good shows. Like, you need us.
It's really a valuable job skill.
Definitely,
to have,
yeah,
when you're providing hospitality in this
Definitely.
Town, right? What about you, Ronnie? How did you get involved with the program, and what made you want to do it?
I got involved in the program by I was thinking about, you know, growing myself as a leader and, you know, growing myself in person. So I came to the idea to come to Liberty's Kitchen to join Tarae and a cocktail program that he had going on, because it's hard out here for black people, because people don't really, you know, black people don't really work in bars, and it's a tough situation for a lot of people in the city of New Orleans, you know, just going through different things like Hurricane Katrina, and, you know, just growing from that. And I came up to the idea to, you know, join and grow myself and give me some exposure and put myself just out there just a little more than, you know, the other person, you know, to make mm-hmm. myself more of a leader, more of a harder worker, a better worker, and, you know, grow cocktails and, you know, put cocktails out there as a good thing, you know, advance the cocktail in the game.
Yeah, right on. Did you work in the hospitality industry before in any way, or is this your first time?
This would be my first time doing, like, bartender stuff, like, behind the bar and stuff. Other things, I just, you know, had other jobs and things that I held down, you know, for a long time. But this would definitely be my first time, you know, after I graduate, you know, being working behind the bar, you know, creating cocktails and becoming a stronger bartender and just making the diverse culture, you know, expand just as myself being black and, you know, growing into the cocktail business.
Yeah, great, Ronnie. Let me ask you guys this question, and Tarae, if you want to answer, or anybody. There is, as we know, and you work in the hospitality industry yourself here as a bartender, there is a shortage of talent in the city. People can always find a job if you have the skill here, which I think is, you know, to a degree right. The impetus of the program. But there's kind of an irony in all of this, right, that we have, if I remember correctly, it's according to the website, there's 1 in 5 young adults are either not in school or unemployed. I think that's people of color that we're talking about,
specifically
probably even more in the African-American community in general. But yet, again, the economic engine of the city is tourism and hospitality, and there is a shortage. That is a significant problem with what would seem to be kind of an easy solution if we work on it and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I would like to not say that I'm a part of the problem, but in a sense, I'm part of, like, imported talent, you know, that comes into the city.
Tell people where you're from.
I'm from New York City originally.
Okay.
So I came here about 4 years ago. And instantly I was drawn to New Orleans for its sense of community and just not, I mean, bartenders here, I think, are strongly supportive of one another and strongly supportive of issues related around the industry. If someone's having a hard time, there's a fundraiser. If there's someone that passes away, everyone's giving money for, you know, their funeral services or anything that you need, people are, you know, ready to jump into it. That's one thing I love about this community, and that's one thing that's supported this program, especially. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that when I came from New York, I was a stronger server, front of the house person. My bartending chops have really come down since I've been in New Orleans, you know, like, you know, working at Coquette, working at Bakery Bar, working at certain establishments where I had some really good teachers and creative people that have helped me develop the craft. So if I've developed this fast and within a short period of time, you know, it's that easy to teach someone to develop at a level at a fast rate if you actually spend the time. You know, there's going to be rough patches, of course, but I think, like I said before, it's just people lack patience and people lack the ability to accept a challenge because it's such a fast-moving industry that people just want to, like, go, 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 open, and have everything be ready to rock. Whereas if you invest in people, I think that's a more valuable thing because those people will stick with you in the longer run and be more loyal to you. You know?
That's a great point. I think we've seen a lot of very successful places in New Orleans have been built on the people that have come up through the ranks of said establishments.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a fair way to put it.
I mean, take LeBlanc and Smith. I mean, he builds from within, for instance, and, like, a lot of his people, you know, started off as a bartender and now managers, and Liam's now even a owner.
Right.
So, like, you know, there's a lot of establishments that have that kind of model, you know, in place.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, you guys, let's do this. Let's take a little break here on the show, and then we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the Turning Tables program, and we'll find out a little bit more about what everybody's up to and what they're learning, I think, is what we'll do next. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Talk it, baby. I'm slinging.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here. Thanks for listening to the NOLA Drink Show, friends. This week, as always, we're talking with folks from the Turning Tables program, which is a fantastic youth success program designed to get people, in this case, into the bartending industry. Yeah, we are in New Orleans. I think that speaks for itself. If you listen to this show, none of that needs to be explained to you whatsoever. And we have two folks that are involved in running the program, Turay Folks and Jazz Bradley. And then we have two students here, Faith Shepherd and Ronnie Richardson. And let's start here. We talked, Turay, at the beginning a little bit about what the what you're trying to teach people. I'm going to start with you, Ronnie, here. What are some of the things that you've been learning, like specifically about being a bartender, that resonate with you, man?
I've been learning basically all over the bar. I mean, just running in the back, learning how to get ice, filling a bar up. Learning about beers, different cocktails, how to mix them, how to make them, how to shake them, how to make sure they're out there on time, how to make sure all the customers are happy, everybody is supporting, and that I'm showing some great, leadership and making sure that I'm smiling and happy and working hard to get drinks out and making people come back and making people, put more exposure out on the cocktails and different drinks and bring more customers in and make it into more of a bigger thing and just make as many customers happy as I can while doing it.
I'm gonna ask you two questions. So tell me what's your favorite part so far about being a bartender, and then more specifically what kind of cocktails are you really liking right now? What are you gravitating towards?
My favorite part of being a bartender is just communicating with people, meeting new people, showing that I'm a great worker and making everyone, love me for who I am and what I do, and not just being a colored person. And also my favorite drinks, it's probably the old fashioned. It's probably the Sazerac. It's very tasty, with the bitters, and it's one of the original drinks, that probably, put a lot of exposure on bartending and cocktails, and the Sazerac is pretty tasty. It's a good drink, mixed together and put a little of the Peychaud's in there.
Yeah, man, it's the official cocktail of New Orleans, man. Yeah. So whiskey, you're kind of into the whiskey stuff right now, it sounds like. Is
yes.
that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And Faith, what about you then? Let me ask you sort of the same question. Anything else you want to add to what Ronnie said about what you're learning and then kind of the parts that you're liking about it?
So as far as what we're learning, I pretty much got basically, just to put in like plain English to like give you like a perspective on how much I learned in the time that I learned, I basically got like a PhD in bartending, if you want to quite make it to like put in perspective.
We're
going
to put you to the test.
Yeah, definitely. How much I learned like in so little time, like in the 14 weeks I've been bartending, I learned basically every classic cocktail base spirit down to the raw material, like how to get your ambiance in your room started, like just like the vibe of the room, like how
so to presenting the room, right?
Like presenting the room, just yeah. like in general, like just creating a vibe, like how to create a bar in general, between the books and the like the knowledge and talking and learning from my teachers and mentors, just like crafting cocktails, just like how to like just kill bartending. I don't know,
nice.
Like it's amazing, like it's still shocking.
And what as far as like cocktails go, what are you kind of into these days?
As far as cocktails, what am I into? Just give me some whiskey.
Just whiskey?
Just give me some
neat
whiskey.
On the rocks,
yeah, just
or
give me some nice whiskey. Give me like I take an old fashioned or just give me a highball if I'm relaxing.
Oh, a highball.
They are my children. The whiskey. Notice the whiskey is.
Whiskey's the most relaxed spirit.
I can tell you have the fingerprints all over. Yeah, right. I know you too well. That's pretty funny. Well, Jazz, so you moved here. How long have you been here in New Orleans?
I've been here for a year.
Okay, and you moved from my neck of the woods, more or less, Oakland.
Yeah, from Oakland. Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about yourself too. What did you want to bring to the table in the program? I mean, you said this a little bit before, but you obviously had some great experience working out on the West Coast. What did you want to bring here to this program and to New Orleans in general?
Yeah, for me, learning bartending was really, it only happened because there was one person who decided to take enough of an interest in me to take me through all of the steps of teaching me exactly how to make up cocktails that are based off of a lot of like original cocktail recipes and such. And so I just thought that I wanted to give that to as many other people as I possibly could, because I'm able to make the amount of money that I need to in order to live, make a lot of money in order to like go do fun things, and also just like meet so many people through being able to do this. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to bring to the program.
What attracted you to New Orleans, out of curiosity?
Oh, to New Orleans in particular? Yeah, just like Teray said about the community. Like, the East Bay used to be very, very similar in that, that anytime someone was in need, it was really easy for people to come together and put together a fundraiser to help those people out. And I saw that happening here in New Orleans when I came to visit, and I just thought that I really wanted to be part of that type of community again and give as much as I could to a community such as that.
Awesome. Now, with the, being a mentor in the program, what does that mean? What is your role as a mentor?
Oh, I've had the most lovely mentee, Andrian, for the past several weeks.
So you kind of pair up one-on-one kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So what's lovely is that I get to have her partially as help behind the bar. So I get to teach her, like, yeah, these are the things you should be paying attention to. Like Ronnie was saying, ice, customers, you know, providing a vibe and everything like that. But at the same time, when we're not very busy, I get to break down a cocktail with her, teach her how to make a drink. And by the time we're, like, working on cocktail number four, all the people at the bar are paying attention. And they're like, oh, wow, like, there's a lot more that's going into this than we actually thought. And, like, there are a lot more options that we have behind, like, when ordering cocktails than we thought that we had in the, like, before that.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like teaching the people at the bar just as much as teaching her. And so that's been a great experience.
Which is always, right, what a good bartender does. A good bartender's not only
you're
also an educator.
Exactly,
On that level. Well, so Teray, tell us, we got about 3 minutes before we're going to take another break here, but so the program works, so mentors get paired up with students one-on-one, and then I'm assuming that you're working with local establishments to kind of give the practical hands-on components here?
Yeah, so their externship slash what you would know as internship are set up with different restaurants and bars that we have partnerships with, which includes the Franklin Hotel Montemayon, Company Burger, as well as Bar Tanique. Where else are people at? 12 Mile. So they've been at different bars around the city, as well as the bars that they've been learning in. I laugh a lot because one of our students, Rakim, he goes into the Domino and he feels like it's home because he learned in that bar. He learned how to make drinks in that bar. So he knows where to get his ice. He knows where to get juice and everything. And every once in a while, if I'm working, he'll ask if he can come back there and make a cocktail because he knows where everything is. He feels, you know, at ease in that bar. And Coquette is also on that same vein. They also had classes there. So they know both bars very well. They know the people. So it's like two different styles of bars, and they become familiar with them, but they also know the limitations of both. So when I send them to events, for instance, they did an event at on New Year's Eve. Faith was doing an event New Year's Eve, and she says, as she says, you know, the limitations of that bar were crazy, but she knew how to rock it because they know how to set up a satellite bar. And me as a dad, I was like, you know, you need anything? And they're just like, get out of here. Get out of here. We got this. They knew how to set up their own bar and everything. So, I mean, and then the next thing I know, I'm hearing from the client 4 hours later that, you know, they crushed it. And they knew how to set up everything themselves and batch everything. And all the information's sticking.
Yeah, that's really cool. And Faith, we're going to take a break in about a minute. But tell people, what does a limitation of a bar mean? Give us a couple examples.
Like limitations. So when it's limitations with bars, different types of bars, like dive bartending, fine dining bartending, like craft bartending, like Mardi Gras bartending, all those types of bartendings have limitations. Everybody knows you never use jiggers for Mardi Gras bartending. That's free pour. Fine dining restaurants, you're really particular because your customers are watching you. Dive bartending, just do your thing. Mm-hmm. Just do your thing.
So you're talking about like setup, ingredients, equipment that you use.
Yeah, like everything is different as far as like where the ice is, like different types of ice, like different places use different types of ice. Like Coquette might use that good ice, and sometimes the Domino might have that good ice.
The real good, that
round off. It sounds really good in your shaker, and then some places just don't really care about ice, and then some people are really particular about like their types of whiskeys and their spirits, and like certain places just are really particular about certain things that they cater to. Like certain places cater to like flavors. Some people just cater to like vibes. Some people just care more about music. Some people care more about ambiance. It just depends where you are.
Where you are, right, exactly. We're not joking when we talk about ice programs, friends.
It's a thing. No, it's
certainly a thing. Well, let's do this. You guys are going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Mighty cootie fire on a Mardi Gras day.
Mm-hmm.
Laissez le bon temps brûler. Hey, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. From the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party comes the 4th Annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 11th through the 14th. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food, all at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much, much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with the WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, we're talking about the Turning Tables program here in New Orleans, a very, very fine program. And let me ask you guys this question, Ture, if you want to tell me the answer to this one. So we talked about the structure a little bit. How long is the program and how many students does it involve? Do everybody start at the same time and graduate each cycle at the same time?
So it's going to involve, this is what you call a pilot year. So okay. We wanted to figure out all the things that we could do better and all the kind of resources that we needed. And we found out that there was a lot of things we did good and a lot of things we could have done better. So it started in, I'd say, like pretty much like October, last week of September. And then it ended right before Christmas. And it's still kind of going on, essentially, but in a more of a phase where they're making their own cocktails, and I just kind of check in with them and just go over with their cocktails with them. And some of them still have a component of their externship still going. But for the most part, the end goal was job placement always. So right now it's anyone that doesn't have job placement, making sure that we nail that down.
So what steps are you taking to ensure that part happens? Because you're talking about, we mentioned this, doing employability skills. So there's the actual skill of bartending, but talking about like interview skills and these sorts of things and assisting people with identifying openings and applying for them and such.
Some people have reached out to me, and then other people, at their events, they see them and they're like, we want to use you for some events. Believe it or not, there was some people that picked it up really, really quickly and got jobs like within a month or so of the program. So there's like a lot of, believe it or not, they picked it up a lot faster. They picked up those skill sets. And, Neil Bodenheimer, for instance, is, involved.
Here in Cane and Table.
And certain people, as they've been checking on the progress of the program, and I'm meeting with them to see like who doesn't have job placement. So at this point, I think we have about 85% job placement. From the beginning.
How many people were in the first group, and how many people in this current group?
So we started off with 9, and now we're down to 7.
Okay.
So like each year, we probably want to keep it pretty small. But this next round, we're going to try to go for 2 cohorts, so that we can focus on people and have larger group. But that's like one of the ideas that we have going for the next round.
Awesome. And how long does the program last? Did you say this? I'm sorry.
3 months.
3 months. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah,
so, Ronnie, tell me this. If you had your pick of the type of bar that you want to work in, where do you want to work?
Any bar, any type of work where I'm just showing my way through my progress, and that I work hard for Liberty's Kitchen. I work pretty much anywhere.
I like that. That's a good interview answer. That's a really good interview answer, man. But if you had your actual pick, what style you want to work in? A
hotel,
super swank, like a hotel craft cocktail bar, more dive bar, or something in the middle.
Hotel bar probably be my favorite. I like fast pace, and if I want to slow it down, I'll go to Bar Tynique or something and
slow it down.
Yeah,
slow it down. Did I just hear that right?
Kind of. Honestly.
All right.
I mean,
not at 1 o'clock on a Friday.
Okay. No, okay. Okay.
However, I want to work. I just work. It's for the bar. I work pretty much any bar, anywhere.
Okay, right on. Same question for you, Faith. If you had your druthers, where would you want to work?
If I had a choice, like my dream bar?
Yeah, exactly.
It would have to be like a mixture of both. Like the music is more like dive bar music, but like fine dining ambiance. So like hip, but really chill, but still lit, and the cocktails are great.
Mm-hmm.
So basically like the Franklin.
Okay, so like the Franklin. I get you.
I love
Franklin. So you want to sling craft cocktails.
Yeah, right? Craft cocktails. I love making craft cocktails. It honestly, it's so easy. It's not easy. But for me, it's shocking how well I'm able to accomplish one really quickly.
She's doing well with the interview thing, too. It's like PhD in cocktails and crafting craft cocktails. Excuse me. It's easy. I like that. Well, Jazz, what, you can say something else?
I mean, well, it's easy. Well, let me not say it's easy because it's not. But with the knowledge that I have attained,
Someone's a little cocky.
A little bit cocky. So I had to
All good bartenders have a little bit of cocky in them, right?
So
no doubt about that.
It's kind of easy with all the knowledge that I attained. And it probably, so before this, I didn't know anything about bartenders. So, like, now it's really... So when I say it's easy, it's like...
No, got it. Jazz, where do we find you? Where are you working right now?
I'm at Company Burger downtown, and which is pretty much exactly what you're talking about. Very casual, but like we are all amazing at making all the cocktails. And then I also work at the Domino as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, right on. So you're working with Ture over there. You're working with Evan
yes.
at Company Burger. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Ture, well, tell, where do we find you, man, when you're not actually so heading up this show?
I have a Domino and also a newly at Galaxy that just recently opened.
Where's that?
Galaxy is literally next door to the Domino.
I'm right down the street.
It's literally a building.
But believe it or not, so yeah.
Ture is a man of a long commute. I like that.
This is Galaxy. That's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right next door just to each other, so right you don't have to go far.
And catch both just, of us in one evening.
Yeah, I was going to say, just put a cot in there somewhere and just stay there.
I confuse the regulars. I like to keep them on their toes. They're like, wait, did I?
So we got about 3.5 minutes left, you guys, before we close the portion of the radio program. Tell people, Ture, where they can find out more about the program, and tell us about the event that we got coming up.
So the event that we have coming up is going to be a showcase of the students' talents, a showcase of they're all designing their own cocktails using different spirits of people that have been involved with teaching them or have been involved with like giving them product for events, i.e. Campari, 7-3 Distilling, Rue Lassan. You know, I've all gone on tours to these different places. You can find out a lot more information about the event at Turning Tables NOLA, which is on Instagram. But we're celebrating on Martin Luther King Day, Monday, January 20th from 5:30 to 9:30 at Hotel Peter and Paul. There's going to be some food from food vendors, Midnight Noodle, Las Abuelas, as well as a photo booth, amongst other things, and a lot of other fun stuff. And DJ Chenawa, who is part of Ascendance, is going to be creating the ambiance.
Nice.
So also, if you want to give more, we're in the process of creating the website, but you would go to www.give.classy.org / turningtables.
Okay, so www.giveclassy.org/turningtables, and you can connect, like, if you want to apply for the program, do you go to the same website, turningtablesnola.org?
Yeah, so right now, as we're planning for the next cohort, we're probably going to have a gala this spring, and then also amp up a little bit more information and visibility throughout New Orleans to give them exposure and to get more money into the next cohort so that we can do probably August.
And pull
more students in.
Okay.
Starting probably be able to apply by May.
Okay.
I would say.
Fantastic. So we'll keep everybody up to date on that stuff here on the show. I want to give before we close out the radio portion of the show, friends, I want to give a special shout out to my good friend Scott Burlington, who was kind enough to host us here at PAX Coffee on Claiborne. They're going to have some good news coming up for you, reopening here pretty quick, and they are doing stuff currently going on, some events, and one thing that we want to tell them about too is the Itel Garden, which is a pop-up vegan restaurant that happens here every so often. Go check them out. They are at Itel Garden NOLA, Ital Garden NOLA on Instagram, or just check out italgardennola.com and find out the next time that they're going to be here. They're here every weekend, and be on the lookout for PAX opening back up, friends. Trey, tell people, as you told us, that the social media for Turning Tables was lit. What are the handles, man?
So lit.
It's Turning Tables NOLA is our handle. I am a Love Supreme. Do you want to shout out your Instagram handle?
I am Polka Mixings.
Say it louder.
At Polka Mixings on Instagram.
Polka?
Mixings.
Like, like the music?
Poca.
Gotcha.
P-O-C-A.
Okay.
That Mixings.
Okay. What about you, Jazz? Do you want to give out to your Instagram? Or just check you out at Domino? And
yeah, just come to the Domino. I don't really hang with
What about you, Ronnie?
Lil Ronnie 386 at Instagram.com.
Ronnie 386, that's your handle?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be finding you two, Ronnie. and Faith behind a bar coming soon. Near you, right?
Saturday.
Coming soon.
Monday.
Yeah. And Monday, January 20th.
And Monday, January 20th. And then soon going to be collecting a paycheck and tips. That's where, that's where I'm going with this. All right, friends. These guys are going to stick around for another shot with Nola Drinks. But if you're listening here on the radio, remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until next time. Another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for sticking around there, friends. We're going to bounce right back over to PAX and continue our conversations with the Turning Tables program. And then after that, I'll be back with my parting shot. Here we go. All right, everybody, up another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for listening in, friends. Again, a shout out to our good friends here on Claiborne at PAX. Stay tuned for more news about this terrific coffee place coming up soon. And thanks to Scott Burlington for hosting us. We're talking about the Turning Tables program, as you know, and we're talking with two of the students, Faith and Ronnie, one of the mentors, Jazz, and the program Papa, Torre Fultz. We're finally going to drop that in here now. And you guys, so Trey touched on this during the first segment that y'all were on. So this program is, the seed money came from grant funding from the Tales of the Cocktail Education Committee and their education program.
Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, which aims to educate, advance, and support different global initiatives within the hospitality industry. And Liberty of the Kitchen, which, you know, Learn, Grow, Lead, I believe is their motto. They are our financial supporter, fiscal supporter, and support amongst other things.
Give us just a quick flavor of what Liberty's Kitchen does.
So, in their own words, Liberty's Kitchen is more than just a cooking school. It also teaches people, I mean, Ronnie could give you the best answer for that. He graduated from the program, but teaches people life skills, and also hospitality skills amongst other things. But
Ronnie, tell us about it.
Liberty's Kitchen is basically, it helps you, you know, get a job and, you know, be able to work in different kitchens. It sets you up to be able to pretty much work anywhere that a employer really needs you. And put you in a situation where you could master that job in advance and show people that you're a real hard worker.
Okay. Yeah, so move into the kitchen and then be able to advance through the culinary portion of the business. Yeah.
There's also a front of the house component there. And, you know, like I said, it's more than just like a cooking school, as like some people would see it. They also teach people life skills, you know, in a lot of ways.
Gotcha. Have,
you
know,
So since we brought it up, because I think an issue here in a lot of places, but certainly in New Orleans that we can speak to pretty well, is there's something that we call in the business here a front of house and back of house divide. And can we maybe define what that is a little bit and how, frankly, I mean, I think this program seeks to address that quite a bit, but why it's a problem economically and demographically? Why is it a problem?
I think there's a divide, and I think there's a divide because of monetary compensation, for one thing, and there's a lot of people that you can see that are trying to solve that formula, i.e. Brett Jones at Barracuda, for instance. Like, there is no front of the back of the house. Everyone gets tips, Palladar 511. You can see in those environments that everyone's kind of happy because they're all making the same kind of money. So I think it does come down to economics.
And doing every job.
Yeah, right. For sure. And most people haven't figured out a formula where the tipping system is extremely flawed, but it is unfortunately the way for people to get monetary compensation in the hospitality industry, because the Louisiana's hourly wage, for instance, is absurd, for instance. And I think for employers to be able to I don't know how Palomar does it. But like working at Barracuda, you know, earlier in the year, I could say Brett is kind of very smart at like making sure that everyone has a similar role, and everyone feels a part of the same part of everything. So the divide is probably because people have specific jobs and they don't feel like they're all a part of the same experience. And there's a reason, like, you know, they always joke that back of the house people are in back of the house and front of the house people are in front of the house. I think that kind of language is part of like why there's a divide as well. You know, there's some very bright personalities that, you know, are back in the house, but just love to cook and just love to, you know, kind of show their hospitality through that way. But I mean, Faith, for instance, you know, started off at back of the house. When she came to Turntable, she decided she was going to be a chef. She was like, I'm just going to see what this is about, but I want to be a chef. But like, you know.
Yeah. But. So originally I wanted to be a chef. My original career goal was to become like this Michelin star chef. I'm going to be the best chef in Louisiana. No. No.
After you figured out what that was about?
So after the whole entire year, it was just like, this is going to take a way lot more work than you think. This is going to be like a who you know situation. This is male dominated. You're going to get harassed. You're going to cry a lot. I cried a lot. It was really interesting. And it just showed me like the hospitality industry. I love cooking. I love cooking. But I always say I cook for pay, not for play, because cooking for play can get you really kind of discouraged about the hospitality industry as far as the chef. So when somebody approached me like saying, hey, you want to bartend? I'm like, yeah, let's use my extensive palate for something more fun. And I always said when I found something that didn't feel like work, I was going to stick to it. And when I'm bartending, it just feels like free flow. It's just like just running off. Like,
so you're more comfortable working in that space.
Yeah, I love bartending. And at first, I really didn't care for front of house. Like, I was like, I'm in the back. I'm just going to let people love my good food, but I don't want to talk. So now it's like, I'm still the same way bartending, but I always wear cool shirts and stuff to like start the conversation because I'm really awkward. So it's like, hey, I like that shirt. I'm like, yeah, what do you know about them?
Got it.
How about that drink?
Got it. Right on. And I really like what your answers are here. And the reason I was asking the questions is especially for people outside the area, I think we do have there's a disproportionate aspect that plays, cuts across demographic lines, where we have a lot more people of color that are working in kitchens without the, perhaps in many institutions or establishments, the opportunity to move into the front of house if that's what they want to do, right? Is that a fair way to put it? Because I like what you said, because people sometimes, that's where you want to be, and that's a great place to be. But in some instances, there are barriers. Like if you want to be a bartender and you're a person of color.
I also volunteer and teach a front of the house class at Liberty's Kitchen. And a lot of the times I get students that want to be in back of the house. They have no interest in front of the house. And part of that too is like what actually ties into this program is if you can hide, you don't have to deal with a lot of issues. So when you're in the front of the
customers
house,
customers can be assholes. Man.
Customers, they can be complete assholes. And so when you're front of, when you're front of the house, you just have to take it, you know, no matter what. Like depends on what environment you're in. If you have a supportive manager that can tell that person to get the fuck out of there, then you're in the right place. But more often than not, you have people that may not support you. Rather than deal with that, people are like, you know, fuck that.
I get it. And I think probably, you know, there's that expression, the devil you know. So like if you're working with a chef who's an asshole, at least you know the chef who's the asshole.
Yeah.
Right? The customers can just be totally random in how that goes down. Right.
Or racist or
any number of other things like that. Right, exactly. Well, Ronnie, what in your case, do you like interacting with customers? And you started out like working in the kitchen.
Yes.
And then now, you know, that's probably the new part of this to you is working more with customers directly.
Yes.
How do you like that?
It's good. It's going great now. I mean, I grew a lot. You know what I'm saying? I had to put things behind me. At first, I used to have some hard time, tough time. People would be a lot of mean to me. But now that they see I grew, you know, they follow me. You know, they believe in me, you know, and they're 100%. They right behind me every day. And they'll never quit. They'll always love me for the work I am, and they'll always support me. And since you know, I grew, I haven't had a problem since. And most of the people I meet, they don't really complain or anything. And they show love and support.
Nice, yeah. Man. Well, I think, and you guys, and Jazz, you're new here, so I'll ask this question to you, and then everybody can chime in. I think one cool thing about New Orleans that's probably different than a lot of places is that, and not everywhere and not every business, but in many cases, the term bartender is not a derogatory. The term bartender, it's an honored profession and has been in this town with starts and fits for the most part. That's a story for another show. But it's an honored tradition. No one's ashamed to say I'm a bartender here in New Orleans. I think it's one of the things that makes this place unique versus a lot of places. What is it coming down here from Oakland? I mean, like, I know when you're working in the Bay Area in the craft cocktail scene, that's a different gig. But what have you seen that's sort of different between the Bay Area and here, bringing your profession to this place?
I guess I'm seeing that there's a trend in general that people are taking bartenders a lot more seriously. Now that we as a community have been sharing a little bit more the, like, intimate details of how, like, putting together syrups and cocktails and bitters and things like that, it's more of an art form than people thought that it was. It's not really just like pouring liquor from one cup into another, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that there are a lot fewer eye rolls, I suppose, when I tell people what I do for a living in this city, and I do definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, nice. What about you, Tori? I mean, you moved from New York, which obviously had a pretty elevated bar scene, and then you come here to New Orleans, and I always find, I think New Orleans is interesting, too, because we have this so-called craft cocktail movement going back 18, 19, 20 years. One can maybe argue that in little pockets here, it never disappeared, and maybe this is the original craft cocktail city.
I think the difference between here and New York for me is I think I was more intimidated by bartending, and that, like Jess said before, it takes one person to kind of invest in you, and a lot of the bars that I went to in New York, they're just like the top bars, like Milk and Honey. Those bartenders are who I learned from. They're probably one of the reasons that craft cocktail bartending has become more of a thing. And like when it originally emerged again, that people kind of made fun of craft cocktail bartenders with the etiquette and the, you know,
the suspenders and the tattoos and the long
beard.
Dude, the hipster. Yeah.
But they were, but some of the nicest people, and I learned a lot from them, and Sasha Petrosky, who was an amazing bartender and amazing teacher. So that when I came here, I didn't know how to bartend, but like, I think a lot of people here, just the creativity and the way in which people have such a like reverence for classics is kind of remarkable. And like once you know classics, I think it's easier to kind of make cocktails from scratch from that. And that's what I've been teaching them in Turning Tables is, you know, remember the classics. Everything stems from a classic, and once you know the classics, you can kind of go from there. You can make anything you want.
My take always, like when somebody says, "This is like our riff on a Sazerac," my first question is, "Can you make a Sazerac?" Because if you can't make a Sazerac, I don't care what your riff is on a Sazerac, right?
Yeah.
You have to know the rules to a degree to break them. But then if you break it down, Trey, like you're saying, to the family tree of cocktails, they all make sense. Right, and if we go back to the Jerry Thomas book in the 19th century,
yeah,
all we're doing is swapping in a base spirit for another base spirit, right? And that's a different drink. And once you learn that, I think it's much easier, and then it's just how you add your own little personal touch to it. But, you know, you said something, too, I think the sort of the reverence for the classics, and maybe wrap it up here with this question. I'd love to hear what you all think. We have the reverence for the classics here. Bartending is a time-honored tradition here. But hospitality in New Orleans is really the heartbeat of a lot of what makes this industry work in this city.
Yeah.
And there's that marriage of that here too. I'll start with you, Ronnie. What does that mean to you to provide hospitality and present a room?
It means a lot to me. It means that I'm showing myself to the city. I'm showing myself as a hard worker and a dedicator and a leader, and I'm letting people know to follow me and grow off what I do, and I'm just letting the city of New Orleans, you know, feel the growth of hospitality.
Awesome. Faith, what about you?
With bartending, I feel like bartending and hospitality in New Orleans in general is just like a family thing. I'm a real family-oriented person, even though I don't come from the biggest or best or greatest family. Even though we're a really small family, we still stand strong and we hold together real tight. Just like the city, we're really small. A lot of people don't really look up to us. They kind of look down. But when you really, like, get a taste of the city, like the real city, you see, like, how much love and support and care and, like, it takes a village type situation. you really get a glimpse of that, and it's really warming. I think that's probably why you two nice people even came in general, just because like how much love just off the city in general. And New Orleans on its own has been like a really dark past, so it still shows like no matter what, love still wins, and family and supporting people will get you far if you allow it. So connections and love and just spreading that good joy and that nice smile.
Nice, the good note.
Keeping
good
my
Nola
customer
vibe,
Harry's. Yeah. Just like right for on. People to remember you is really good. Like after you give somebody a really good cocktail and they remember you and they tell their friends and then they come see you and then you got people from far, far away places. Hey, my friend told me about you. I'm from Hawaii. Oh, hi.
There you go. Well, good answers there. Trey, tell people one more time about the website, where they can find out more about the program and the Instagram handle. Turning Tables NOLA.
So it is www.turningtablesnola, as well as
.com or .org. I keep messing this up.
TurningTablesNola is our Instagram account.
Okay, yep.
And then our current page where you can give to the organization for the next cohort is www.give.classy.org/turningtables. Website will be up shortly.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it. Jazz, pleasure to meet you. Welcome to New Orleans. I can say I haven't been here that long.
Thank you.
And Teray, buddy, thanks, man. Good to see you again. Thanks for putting
this
together.
Always pleasure.
Faith, Ronnie, thanks for your time. I look forward to seeing you guys both behind a bar pretty quick.
Definitely.
Getting a Sazerac from you, getting an Old Fashioned from you, or vice versa.
Definitely.
All right, cool.
Or if I'm going to play on that.
Yeah, there you go, friends. Hey, we're going to take a little brief musical interlude, and I'll be back with my parting shot. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show, friends, this week. I do appreciate it. As always, hey, I hope you enjoyed as well as got something from our conversation with Toure, Jazz, Faith, and Ronnie from the Turning Tables program. Really excellent program. And as we noted, they're just wrapping up their first iteration and something we need to see perpetuated. We need to keep it going. And so to that end, something I would like to reiterate here, if you would like to support them financially, and I would encourage you to do so, please check out www.give.classy.org/turningtables. Once again, www.give.classy.org/turningtables. Classy is C-L-A-S-S-Y. And of course, I will have a link to where you can give along with more information about Turning Tables in our show notes. Just go check out noladrinks.com. You'll find the latest episode there at the top of our homepage, and then you will find the link there. And I also want to encourage you, they do events. And so when they do events, go check them out. If you're here in the area, of course, or if you're visiting and it happens to coincide when they're doing something, a lot of fun. You get a chance to see the students in action tending bar behind the stick. Taste some of their cocktail creations and have a good time. And of course, you are also supporting them financially in that way when you go attend an event. So either way, whether you get money online or go attend an event or both, you're supporting Turning Tables. And once again, I highly encourage you to do so. Friends, a little programming note here for you next week. The plan as it stands, I mentioned this at the top of the show, we're going to be talking about bourbon and American whiskey. I will be joined by two or three guests, one of which is known. Still working out a few of the details and such. But the guest that we for sure will have is Tracy Napolitano, who is the executive director of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. And yeah, I think the idea is we're going to talk about, you know, sort of the landscape of the industry, maybe some things that you don't know about the industry. Should be some really interesting stuff. I'm hoping that we sip on some things. That doesn't really help you. But yeah, sure, we talk about it, so maybe it helps you a little bit. But hey, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you're looking forward to it too. And be on the lookout for that one, friends. Hey, this is our parting shot. And I wanted to mention something. Of course, this is the week of Martin Luther King Day, celebrating his life and birthday. And most importantly, really, his life and his message. And one thing I wanted to note, a good friend of mine, Chef Martha Wiggins, who is connected to the Turning Tables program, did a lovely Instagram post, and it's simply a photo of Dr. King with his oldest daughter, the oldest child, of course, between he and Coretta Scott King, Yolanda Denise King, and they are sitting there at the kitchen table talking. Of course, this was when Yolanda was a child, and just having a conversation. It's a very lovely photo. But here is what Martha's post is, and it says, "Reflect, remember, and give thanks and thanks and thanks. Hashtag, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams." What I want to remind people here, for those of us who sit in privilege, be it being white, be it being male,
be it being cisgendered, being of financial affluence. To quote Dr. King, the time is always right to do what is right. We must be allies and advocates, friends, for those who do not share in our same privileges. Again, to quote Dr. King, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Frankly, if this offends you just because someone gets theirs, that does not mean that you don't get yours. It's not a pie. It's not a pizza. It's not a cake. It's a universal right. So if you don't like that and it threatens you, well, you better get yourself together, darling, and join the human race. Just throwing a little John Lennon in there for you. Again, to quote Dr. King, we cannot walk alone, and as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. So friends, this is how we can help ensure that so many of our friends, our neighbors, and our fellow citizens can continue to be their ancestors' wildest dreams. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.